Good morning. Welcome to Hunt Springs Baptist Church. I'm glad you're here. If you're out in the parking lot, we just want to welcome you this morning and thank you for being here. And if you're listening online after a while, thank you for joining us and supporting us with your prayers. And also, we'd just like to thank everybody for your financial support for Hunt Springs Baptist Church. Today, as we begin, we want to just think of a few prayer requests and see if you have any more. We want to pray for the Travis Blackwelder family. He passed away Saturday morning. Terry Nixon, his family, he passed away Friday evening. And Sergio had sent me an email about this body that they had found. I think that he said pray for his family. That young man that's been missing, there's some relationship there. I'm not sure how that works, but he's been missing since December, I think it is. So pray for them. Miss Rita, I didn't talk to her last week, but keep her lifted up in your prayers as she's getting strengthened and recovering from this stroke to be able to get around some. Pray for Ronald also as he looks after her. Miss Alma is back at Bayberry. I was going to try to go by and see her, but I didn't get by there before the rain started because you can't go inside. I was going to go around back to her window, but I'll try to do that next week and see how she's doing. I know she's still tired, Teresa said, but she's there. Mona, her breathing problem there from the COVID is still up and down. She seems to get better for one day and then back set for 2 days. So keep her in your prayer. And Carol, how are you doing with your breathing? Y'all keep Carol in your prayers, too. I know she's had some breathing problems. James Gordon, his blood work Friday when they was testing him for his chemo to see what kind of chemo or how much they could give him. His numbers are back up a little bit, which is not a good sign. I know it's got to concern him and Miss Rhonda. He will have a CT scan sometime around the 12th of March. I'm not sure exactly what day. He wasn't sure. That will give him a better idea if the cancer is started to progress again, because they had it at bay and on the run, so to speak. But I know that's got to be bothering him and Miss Rhonda, the not knowing. Also, David Brown, I've had him on here before, good Christian man that lives up towards Pleasant Garden. He's got a rare form of cancer, and they operated, got it off his heart. Then it was all, a few weeks later, he got hurting again, and it was all over. He had said that he was exposed to some things during his military time that is probably causing all this, but it's very painful. It's got into his muscles. So keep him in prayer. Also, Miss Lizzie is a lady that I used to get, and I know she told somebody the other day, tell Wesley to call me. And I've only met this lady about three times getting tomatoes from her. But she's had a stroke, and she failed when she had the stroke, and it messed up her back. So they've had to operate on her back. So she's got a lot of stuff going on. And she just asked for prayer that she could just get where she could get up by herself and move around so she's not so dependent on everybody. I know it's several more, but y'all, any more prayer requests? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. And kind Father, we come before you and just with praise and thanksgiving, Lord. As we come before you, we lift up these physical needs here, Lord. It just seems like it's always so many because of just the sickness, all that's going on. Also, we ask you continue to heal Mr. Clyde, Lord. I know he's at home, but he is breathing. He's still not well. And Lord, I just pray that you would be with him as we add him to these. And also, Mr. Fred, as they continue to work to get his heart medicine straightened out. And hopefully this new medicine will continue to help strengthen his heart, Lord. I pray that he gets a good report when he goes back. Also, Tammy at the Cowboy Church at Siler City, her husband was talking about this morning, he's still in the hospital. So, Lord, just help him get over the effects of this COVID. It's just so many that are dealing with that. Lord, I pray that you would just be with them, guide, direct them. Lord, guide, direct us. And I pray that, Lord, you'd just be with us and help us, Lord, not only physically, but also spiritually, Lord, that you would just guide and direct us and be with us in all things that we do here at Hunt Springs, Lord. Just help us, Lord, to do things according to your will on your timetable, Lord, to look and see what you're doing, and, Lord, just to join in there. Thank you for everything. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning we want to welcome Bobby Ray and Scott. We're glad they're here. Y'all give them a hand. Y'all in the parking lot, give them a toot. Y'all got any horns out there? Okay. All right. All right, thank y'all. We're going to get started this morning.
Sound like those in the parking lot, their tutor's not working, I don't think so. Anyway, I know there's two or three out there. Oh, man. Well, I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. And then a little light from heaven filled my soul. He paved my heart in love, and He wrote my name above. And just a little talk with Jesus made it right. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell Him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry. He will answer by and by. Feel a little prayer will turn in. Know a little fire is burning. You will find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Well, I may have doubts and fears. My eyes may fill with tears. But Jesus is a friend who watches day and night. I go to Him in prayer. He knows my every care. And just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Let us have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell Him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry. He will answer by and by. When you feel a little prayer will turn in, you'll know a little fire is burning. You will find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Let us have a little talk with Jesus. Tell Him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry. He will answer by and by. When you feel a little prayer will turn in, you'll know a little fire is burning. You will find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. You will find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Thank you. That's a little old quartet song, but I like the song, and it's true, and I like the second verse. It says, I'm going to just do a little bit more of it, Scott, while you're right there. It says, I may have doubts and fears, my eyes may fill with tears, but Jesus is a friend who watches day and night. I can go to Him in prayer, He knows my every care. And just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Tell Him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry. He will answer by and by. When you feel a little prayer will turn in, you'll know a little fire is burning. You will find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. You will find a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
Thank you. So, you want to do? I went blank here this morning.
I don't know that.
I'm at that age. I go blank once in a while. Getting ready today. Is what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
Lord's still good, and we've had a lot of things going on in life. Lots of things goes on in life normally, but this year, this past year has been something. But through it all, we learn as Christians, we learn to trust the Lord even more when we go through the different trials and things that we're faced with, and when we. It's really impossible to please the Lord without faith, isn't it? It's what it says. And so I'm learning and still learning. It's all the years that I've known the Lord, I'm still learning to trust Him and to have that faith. But anyway, I'm getting ready today. Once the Lord's through with me and I'm through with this world, I'm ready to move on. I'm sorry, that's you. Go ahead. Sorry, I'm getting quiet. Go one more time. Start that again. I missed it. Yeah, go ahead. I want to move from this world of fear, kind of getting tired of living here. Want to go home where the winds of sorrow never blow. Far from the shadow of the tomb, far from the sadness and the gloom. I want to go home when death demands my tattered soul. Getting ready today, moving out tomorrow, gonna say goodbye to earthly sorrow. I'm looking for a mansion there. I see the lights, I'm almost there. I wanna go home when life is through, move up to heaven where dreams come true. I get thrilled just think about the glory we will share. Gonna see loved ones who have gone, gonna see the King upon his throne. I'll never return to this old life when I get there. Get ready today, moving out tomorrow. Gonna say goodbye to earthly sorrow. I'm looking for there, I see the light, I'm almost there. I'm looking for a mansion there, I see the light, I'm almost there. I see the light, I'm almost there. Get ready. Tomorrow, gonna say goodbye to earthly sorrow. I'm looking for a mansion there. I see the light, I'm almost there. I'm looking for a mansion there. I see the light, I'm almost there. I see the light, I'm almost. I forget a lot of the song. We sing it to another church quite frequently. We try to come up and remember songs, and I forget little things. But anyway, if I hadn't had that ham biscuit this morning, I couldn't have sung that. And I would have done it a whole lot better if I'd called Wes and told him to come buy my biscuit. I would have really, I just had sung that song another key higher. I believe I would have. Oh, Lordy. You want to do your song this morning?
Okay.
God has a plan. Let him tune up and you introduce it.
See. This is a song I pulled out of the closet again. I wrote it several years ago. The Lord kind of put this on my heart. It's about witnessing to people, no matter what walk of life they come from. The first verse is about a homeless man. The second verse is about a very rich lady. So hope you enjoy this. Met him on the street, was a sight to see. Hardly any clothes for him, should I let him be. But the Lord spoke out softly to me, help this man today. For I loved you when you were falling just yesterday. So I turned around and said to him, God loves us all. Please tell me how I can help you, friend. He began to talk. I listened very carefully, and it reminded me how God can use us different ways to help a person see. God has a plan, and we must take a stand to share with someone rich or poor today. It's up to us to help them find the way. God has a plan. I met her on the sidewalk, was a sight to see. Fancy clothes and jewelry, should I let her be? But the Lord spoke out softly to me, talked to her today. Even though she is one wealthy person, don't turn and run away. So I turned around and shared with her what Jesus did for me. She smiled as though it rang a bell, and she said to me, just tell me where to meet this man you described today. I said, open your heart and you'll receive him as we pray. God has a plan, and we must take a stand to share with someone rich or poor today. It's up to us to help them find a way. God has a plan. God has a plan.
Being bossy, told him to turn his guitar up a little bit. I can't be bossy at home. When I come out and sing, boy, I'm be bossy, can't I, Scott? Here's a song that someone asked the other week if we could sing this, and so it's an old song, we all know it, and it said, "Why Me, Lord." Why me, Lord? What have I ever done to deserve even one of the pleasures I've known? Tell me, Lord, what did I ever do that was worth loving you for the kindness you've shown? Lord, help me, Jesus, I've wasted it. So help me, Jesus, I know what I am. But now try me, Lord, if you think there's a way I can try to repay all I've taken from you. Maybe, Lord, I can show someone else what I've been through myself on my way back to you. I've wasted it, so help me, Jesus, I know what I am, but
right now. My soul's in your hand.
That's a good song still, isn't it? We all need to ask that question. What have I done that's worth him loving me? And I'm thankful that the Lord loves us. He shows me that love every day, and I'm very thankful for that. What time we got over there, Scott? Y'all's clock don't work back there.
10:21.
10:21. Let's do a couple of guitar songs. No, I got one more. Let's do one on the keyboard. You mentioned. Let's do
this one right quick. After Cross.
Okay. To the world, the cross seems like foolishness to those that don't believe. But to me, and as sort of as Paul said, what happened on the cross changed my life, and I'm thankful for this for the cross. This is a newer song. It's entitled "At the Cross." That my pastor that asked me a few years ago if I could try to learn this song, and it's been a blessing to me, and folks really like it. At the cross. There's a place where mercy reigns and never dies. And there's a place where streams of grace flow deep and wide, where all the love I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in all of you, I'm in all of you. Where your love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe all to you. I owe all to you, Jesus. And there's a place where sin and shame are powerless, and where my heart has peace with God and forgiveness, where all the love I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in all of you, I'm in all of you. Where your love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe all to you, I owe all to you. Here my hope is found, here on holy ground, here I bow down, here I bow down. Here arms open wide, here you saved my life, here I bow down, here I bow. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in all of you, I'm in all of you. Where your love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe all to you, 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 That's a great song. We'll do one more real quick. I think we got time, right? We always appreciate being here with you all.
Yes, we do. We really appreciate you inviting us down here.
Got laid down last night and got a tickle, and I coughed a little while, and then I didn't sleep good.
I think I swallowed some sandpaper last night.
Oh, man. Sometimes I don't never sleep good before I have to go sing the next morning. I'm afraid I'm going to oversleep, you know. And if I overslept and got Wes upset, I don't know he'd ever have us back. So
he said he was running behind this morning. He got there 1 minute late, I think it was. He said, I'm way behind.
Oh, man.
A woman in the Bible days, her last meal almost gone. But God sent Elijah to make his word known. He said, woman, don't you worry, God sent me today. And before you even ask him, help was on the way. Just hold on a little longer, help is on the way. A brighter day is coming for those who believe and pray. Help won't help tomorrow. Just hold on a little longer. Help is on the way. Troubles come by, burdens get us down. We think no one is listening. We think no one's around. Just remember what his word says. Trust him and obey. Keep your eyes toward the heavens, for help is on the way. Just hold on a little longer, help is on the way. A brighter day is coming for those who believe and pray. Help won't help tomorrow if you give up today. Just hold on. Just hold on a little longer, help is on the way. Just hold on a little longer, for help is on the way.
We don't have many people inside, so it doesn't sound like we appreciate y'all, but we do. And no matter how late you are, I'll invite you back, Bobby Ray.
All right. Had me worried.
Amen. Good to have y'all here today. If you'll take your Bibles this morning and turn to John chapter 2. John chapter 2, we're going to look at what is known as the miracle at Cana. Also, it's just a familiar story about Jesus turning the water into wine. I know most of y'all have probably seen that little video of that girl that went viral. They was asking, and I can't remember now if it was Art Linkletter or who it was, but she was on this show, and they was asking her about her favorite Bible story, and she says it's the story of Jesus turning the water into wine. And he says, well, what is the moral to the story, Chug? And the little girl walked out there, and she smiled, and she said, when you run out of wine, pray, pray, pray. You know, a lot of times when we think about this story, what happens, we get to thinking about, you know, wine, and I've heard it talked about the wine being diluted, and, you know, is this okay to drink? And it really, truthfully, this is about Jesus turning water to wine, but it has nothing to do about drinking. Nothing to do about drinking. It's about Jesus saving the best for last. It's about Jesus replenishing our depleted resources. Just like Bobby Ray and Scott was just singing, you know, just to, can you hold on just a little bit longer? Because help's on the way. That's what this is about. Jesus here is going to replenish our deleted resources and depleted resources. But you know how he does that is what causes us problems sometimes. He does it on God's timetable. You know, sometimes you might be sick and you're praying for help and you're wondering where God is. You think God is distant. You think God's far away. But God is working on his timetable. Help is on the way. But the problem is sometimes we need to hang on. And, you know, the second law of thermodynamics pretty much says that nothing lasts forever, right? Useful energy is depleted. Same thing with things in our life. For instance, joy. If you really enjoy doing something and you keep doing it, you expect the joy to continue, or you expect it'll be just as good next time as it was this time. Well, if you've got a favorite restaurant, you'll learn pretty quick that things are not always as good as they were last time. And you know, we look for happiness in certain things, and what happens? Our joy sometimes gets depleted, doesn't it? I mean, you could like to go to Walt Disneyland or any of these amusement parks, but if you went enough, sooner or later, they would lose their joy. They would start losing the joy. Same thing in life. Stuff that we enjoy, after a while, it just kind of depletes our joy. And that's what we see here with this story. Jesus is able to renew our joy. He can transform our situations, and Jesus can also transform our relationships. Now, what is happening here, if you remember, we've been talking about the testimony that John gave for Jesus and then the disciples, and Jesus has called these disciples, and it says here on the third day, so this is after Philip has gone and called Nathanael to follow Jesus to come see the Messiah. Andrew has gone and called Peter, and there's five disciples here. Probably John, that is writing this, the disciple whom Jesus loved, is with the other four disciples. It says on the third day there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee. We don't know exactly where Cana is, probably about 9 miles north from some digs that was there. It's probably the town that is deserted now, about 9 miles north of Jerusalem. And it says, of Nazareth, I'm sorry. It says that on the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus and the disciples were invited to the wedding. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. And Jesus said to her, woman, what does this have to do with us? My hour has not yet come. And his mother said to the servants, whatever he says, you do it. Now there were 6 stone water pots set there for the Jewish custom of purification, containing 20 or 30 gallons each. Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water. So they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, draw out some now and take it to the head waiter. So they took it to him. When the head waiter tasted the water, which had become wine, he did not know where it had come from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew. And the head waiter called the bridegroom and said to him, every man serves the good wine first. And when the people have drunk freely, then he serves the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now. This beginning of his signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and the disciples believed in him. Let us pray. Kind Father, we come before you this morning, Lord, and we just ask that you be with us the next few minutes, that you visit with us as we look at this text. Guide and direct us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What I want us to think about this morning is how Jesus can replenish our depleted resources, such as joy. And here we're talking about wine, but in the Old Testament, when you talk about wine, it's talking about something that is going to bring joy in the age of the Messiah, in the messianic age to come. The wine would bring gladness. Psalm 104, verse 15 says that wine brings gladness to the heart. So, and if you see it in Amos and in Hosea, it's talking about the restoration of Israel, when God will restore things to the way they're supposed to be. And when he restores them, the idea of the wine is the idea that it brings joy, and there will be a fullness that the vines will be producing the grapes, and that'll be turned into wine. It even says in one text there that the wine vats will be caught up with the ones that's reaping the wine, the grapes. I mean, everything will just be plentiful, and it'll be a time of joy. Now, the idea of a wedding here is the idea of a celebration. There's a lot of things we can talk about there. You probably heard sermons from that. But what we want to talk about today is that Jesus here has been presented by John as the Creator. He was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Nothing come into being apart from Jesus. Everything that was created by him. Paul goes on to say in Colossians that everything that was created by him, for him, through him, and all things hold together because of him. So Jesus has been presented as the Creator, and here we see that he is also the Recreator. He can replenish that which is depleted, that which is gone. And the idea here is that they was having this joyful occasion. Jesus here is gone to this wedding. You know, Jesus being fully God and fully man is living on earth, and he's interacting with humanity. Here he's going to a time of celebration. He's joining in something. How many times when something's going wrong in our life and we believe God exists, I guess all y'all do, right? We believe God exists, but when things are not going like they should, we kind of think God is way off somewhere. We kind of think God's not right here with us. I mean, I hear people say this all the time. I didn't want to bother God with that because I know he's got bigger things to do. Guess what? God's never too busy for his children. That's why Jesus came to this earth. That's why Jesus tabernacled with us, so that we know that God desires to be with us. It's Valentine's Day. If you want to think about the greatest act of love, think about what Christ did coming to this earth for us. He came to this earth to transform our situation. He came to this earth to transform our relationship with God. That's why he come. Now, here's what's going on. Mary was already there. It says on the third day that there was a wedding, and it says the mother of Jesus was there. So she was there. Jesus and them is invited. We don't really know what's going on. What was, you know, somebody in Mary's family, Jesus' family. Jesus got the invite. Him and the disciples come. The disciples probably came with Jesus because they was with him, and that's why they received an invite. But Mary is there, and she might be helping out. We really don't know that. But it says, when the wine run out. So everybody's having a good time, and the joy run out. Now, the rabbis understood that wine was linked to joy in the Old Testament and in the Messianic age to come. They had a saying, when the wine runs out, the joy runs out. Now they understood this. So when Mary says, look, the wine, when she saw that it had run out, there was something going on here. The bridegroom And his family, they hosted this big wedding ceremony that would last about a week. And when you invite everybody from the town, most people from the town and your family, and you invite them, this is a big deal. Think about it. A wedding is the biggest celebration that a lot of the Jewish people in the first century had in their whole life. For a week, they was king and queen. Everything centered around them, and it was a big party. So they was sponsoring or putting on the party. That would be like me inviting Bobby Ray and Scott, come on over to the house after church, and we'll have some hamburgers. And then we get to the house, and guess what? I forgot to get the hamburgers, right? And I said, well, I'll fix something else and open up the freezer, and we ain't got anything in there. See, they would be embarrassed that they have all these people there, and they didn't plan and have enough to take care of their needs. And this is what has happened. Just like with us, sometimes we can make the best plans available, but then things just run out. We don't have everything we need, and we don't know what to do about it. But the question is, how much do we trust God to intervene in our situation? Here, the wine run out, and the mother of Jesus said to him, we have no wine. And Jesus says, woman, and you know, it's been said, and a lot of ink has been spilt on this, why he called her woman. The idea here is a term of endearment, but nowhere in John's gospel does Jesus ever call Mary his mother. He's speaking to her here because his ministry, public ministry, has just began, and their relationship has changed. He says woman, or like ma'am, or lady is what he's saying. He says, what does this have to do with us? And you say, well, this don't sound too pleasant, but Jesus. But he explains what he's talking about next. He says, my hour has not come. Over and over in John's gospel, if we follow through John's gospel here about this whole idea of my hour has yet to come, we can see in John 7, 6, verse 8 also, verse 30, and chapter 8, verse 20, over and over, Jesus says, my hour has not come. John established this in order to lay out the journey that Jesus was taking to the cross in Jerusalem. Jesus come to do what? Accomplish God's will. This public ministry of Jesus' life begins here in chapter 2 and goes through chapter 12. And all through there, when Jesus is asked to do something to promote God's kingdom or to start God's kingdom right then, he says, my hour's not come. He says, I cannot do except for what I've seen my Father do. And he also says, I cannot say except for what I've heard my Father in heaven say. In chapter 12, Jesus come to accomplish God's will. Did he come to perform signs and miracles? Yes, he does this leading up to his crucifixion. But the main reason Jesus come was to go to the cross and to die for our sins. And here he says, you know, you want me to reveal myself, but hey, I'm on God's timetable. Now, sometimes we might be unhappy, and we're asking God to help us, to help fix the situation. Just like Mary, she's probably asking Jesus to help her, not as the Son of God, but as her son. We know Joseph is already gone. He's out of the picture by now. Jesus is being the oldest sibling, and it said he's a carpenter. He has probably been taking care of his mama, looking after her. So she don't know what he's going to do. But she comes to Jesus and she says, look, we're out of wine. Jesus says, what do you want me to do? My hour's not come. My ministry is beginning right here. But what do you want me to do? And here we see that their relationship is changed. His mother, just like everybody else, has to come to Jesus by faith. It's a lot of times, you know, this has been used to teach that Mary can intercede for us. But Jesus was interceding for Mary just like us. So when Mary says to Jesus, we've run out of wine, Jesus says, well, what do you want me to do? Look at her next response. She says to to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. Her faith was in Jesus replenishing the depleted resources. She didn't know how Jesus was going to do it. This was faith in Jesus, no longer as her son, but as her Savior. She says, whatever he says, y'all do it. I don't know how he's going to do it. Now, you and I, when something's going on in our life and we need something, we're unhappy, we don't have enough paycheck to make it to the end of the month, something's broke down unexpected, we're trying to get it fixed, whatever it might be, we call on God sometimes because we're Christians, right? I mean, y'all do pray and ask God for help, right? But when we call and ask God for help and we're praying, don't we sometimes already work out the details how we want God to do it? Lord, I need $29.95 plus tax and delivery charges, and I can get this fixed. Well, sometimes we need to realize God is working on his timetable, and guess what? God might have another way of fixing it. Have you ever needed something, and then all of a sudden it show up from a different path than you thought it was coming? You know, you call somebody and they call you and want you to help them fix something, and you helping them fix something, and before you know it, they have done offered to give you something they're not using no more, or come help you fix something at your house, and you never thought you could do it that way. You thought you was going to have to hire somebody online to come do it. Has that ever happened to anybody but me? God works in his own timetable, in his own ways. And when we expect in God to replenish something, we need to expect him to do it on his own timetable. Now, Jesus can transform our situation, whatever's going on. They got a situation going on here, and they've lost their joy. The joy has run out. Jesus is going to transform that joy. It says here that there were six stone water pots. So another thing we want to see here is that Jesus will also transform our relationship and our joy. Six stone water pots were set there for the Jewish custom of purification. Now, the reason these are stone and not earthenware is because in Leviticus, if you remember, those pots of earthenware are more porous and they get more dirt in them and stuff when they're using them, and they have to be repurified. So by this time, the Jewish custom was use stone pots. It's not as porous. They won't become so dirty or impure, and we keep the water in them for the purification, which is the washing of hands, to be ritually clean, to go to the temple, to have the meals. If you remember, the Pharisees later asked why Jesus' disciples don't wash their hands before they eat. And also they wash the utensils here. So these pots are used for purification. And Jesus here comes to replenish what is missing. This idea of using these water pots is the idea that there is something lacking in the Jewish faith, in their religious practice, in their rituals, in Judaism. The rituals that they are doing, they have become so accustomed to them that this idea of we'll fill these pots, they got water, this is the way we'll do our purification, we'll go before the Lord this way, we'll continue doing this. When Jesus tells them to fill them with water, and it says they filled them to the brim, they filled them up to the brim so that this supernatural act, this sign that Jesus was fixing to do, it wasn't any hocus pocus like the magicians and them do. It was filled all the way up with water. There wasn't just water here and they poured some wine in it to dilute it or anything like this. They're not looking for the historical Jesus. Here, probably 30 years ago, actually about 40 years ago, the idea of looking for the historical Jesus, the real Jesus that walked on this earth, that done things and people just attributed miracles to him. They weren't really miracles. Jesus did this by mixing some wine with the water that was already there. Hey, the reason John says, look, I saw these pots. There were six of them. Jesus told them to fill them up with water. They filled them up to the brim. And then Jesus told them to go draw out of them wine, and they went and drawed out wine. In other words, he's saying Jesus has the power to transform our situation and our relationship with God. Something new has come, and his name is Jesus. He's replacing all the old stuff. Wherever you thought you was going to find joy, Jesus can replace it with new joy. But remember this, Jesus saves the best for last. Sometimes we think the idea is this is as good as it gets. I've been a Christian a long time, and I'm just trying to make it on through life. Guess what? God's got something new for you every day. When you trust in Jesus to replenish what is depleted of your happiness, of the things that you enjoy at church, he will replace them in his own time, in his own way. There will be something new going on there. And this is what he says. He says, draw some out and take it to the head waiter. This head waiter is kind of like the recreation director on a cruise ship. How many of y'all been on cruises? I know we got several people in here very experienced at that. Amen? Well, you got, whether it's at the recreation center or wherever, this head waiter, his job was to keep everything flowing the way it needed to, keep everybody happy, keep the activities going, the celebration going. And Jesus says, here, take it to that head waiter. So they took it to him, and when the head waiter tasted that water, which had become wine, he did not know where it come from. This miracle wasn't for everybody. This miracle here, the servants see it, Jesus' mother sees it, and the disciples see it. But the head waiter goes to the bridegroom, and he says to him, every man serves the good wine first. So if you've got the real good wine, and when we're talking about this wine here, it's probably diluted down the way they mixed it then to use. It was probably diluted down less than what beer is now. That don't really matter. But the idea was that if you got real good wine with a good flavor, you let the people use it first, and they'll enjoy it. It tastes good. And then he says, after they have drunk the good wine, in other words, they're already getting a little tipsy, then you give them the other stuff that you got. Because why? The newness is kind of wore off of that taste, and they won't know the difference. But he says to the bridegroom, he says to him, but you have saved the best for last. Now, if we think about it, in the messianic age to come with joy, the idea of marriage, the idea of a supper, the idea takes us forward to Revelation chapter 19. In Revelation chapter 19, the marriage supper of the Lamb, this is pointing forward to, says, let us rejoice and be glad and give glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his bride has been made ready for herself. He's talking about the church being wed to Christ in the millennial, when we'll be with Christ and we will be made ready for this marriage supper of the Lamb, and there will be rejoicing and gladness. In our Christian walk here on this earth, guess what? This is not as good as it gets. We need to remember that Jesus saves the best for last. A lot of times as we get older and we think, well, I used to do a lot for the Lord, and I used to witness a lot, or I used to do a lot at church. I can't do a lot anymore because of my physical disabilities or because of my physical limitations. Guess what? You don't have to do the same things you did when you was 20 years old. The Lord has got something better for you. The longer we live with the Lord, the better things get. Do we still have problems? Yes, but God is saving the best for last. And guess what? That will be when we get in heaven with Christ, or Christ returns to get us. He ushers in a new heaven and earth. Sin, sickness, and all to do with the effects of sin and death are gone. We spend eternity with Christ. That is when the best relationship we'll have with Christ. But now, in the here and now, we can enjoy our life with Christ by trusting in him to give us what we need from our depleted resources, whether it's something in the current situation of our life or in our relationship with God. Think about this. Church has been all difficult for the last year because of COVID. So we're not doing a lot of things we used to do. So a lot of times we think, well, we can't enjoy church like we used to. We can't all go inside. We can't all gather together. We can't do this. We can't do that. Well, have you thought about just asking the Lord, Lord, there's a lot of things that we don't get to do we used to do. And my relationship is not as close to you as it used to be. Help transform my relationship into what you want it to be with you. Did you know that God uses the church, the gathering of church people, to help strengthen us? But do you know we did not have to have this building to draw close to God every day of the week? You know why God gives us this building on Sunday? So in the darkness and despair of everything that's outside in this world, His children, filled with His Spirit, can gather together and encourage each other. We can hit the reset button and start all over anew for next week, so that next week is better than last week. Some days we say, Lord, this situation, I just don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm trusting you. I know you're working on God's timetable. I know it might not be the hour for you to straighten this out, but I'm just going to believe in you till you help me through this situation and restore joy to my situation. And some days we might just need to say, Lord, I've been trying to fix this by myself. I've been trying to figure out where to get my depleted resources, my joy, my happiness. I'm trying to get my budget right. Lord, I'm trying to get my house right. I'm trying to get my family right. Lord, I got that wayward child that I can't do anything with. Lord, what am I going to do with him? It might be that the Lord's just telling you, first thing you need to do is trust me to renew our relationship together, this purification. You know what is lacking sometimes in our joy and in our relationship with God? Is our belief that the God in heaven still intervenes on this earth. The God in heaven can still intervene in our situation and in our lives. And this is what happens this morning. As we look a little farther, John says this is the beginning of his signs that Jesus did in Cana. It says he manifested his glory and his disciples believed him. When we think about God intervening in our lives, it should result in strengthening our belief. The disciples saw this great miracle of water turned to wine, and it says they believed in him. Why? John says, because it was a sign. Now, there's a lot of words for signs and miracles throughout the Gospels, but John uses this word sign over and over. In other words, it's a sign of something you can see, but it's always got a spiritual significance to it that goes beyond the current situation. So Jesus wanted to show them what? That he had power over creation. He is the God of creation, so he's also the God of recreation. He can recreate our situation. He can resupply what's been depleted from our joy. But he can also renew our relationship with God. He can transform us, here it is, from unbelievers into believers. That's the greatest miracle that as Christians we understand, is God transforms us. And by transforming us, he can transform our situation. It says that he did this sign so that he could manifest his glory. If we look back to see when he talks about the glory and grace upon grace and the fullness of grace, in verse 14 of chapter 1, it says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory. Glory as the only begotten from the Father. It says it was full of grace and truth. The reason John records these signs is so that by believe in them, you can have faith in the Son of God, that you can believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and by believing in him, you can have everlasting life. John writes that in chapter 20, that is the purpose of writing this gospel. And here he says that when we see the glory of Christ, what we recognize is the grace and truth of God realized in Christ. The truth of God is this: God keeps his promises. The grace of God is God keeps his promise to redeem sinful people. And he done that in the person of Jesus Christ. So this morning, if you've got something that is missing in your life, it's not as happy as it used to be, the resources are just not there, the relationship you had with God is just not there, what you need to do is believe that God still intervenes in the world today. It's not just God's up in heaven and one day I get there, it'll be all right. The God of heaven will intervene in your life through the Holy Spirit and through the work of Christ, and has the power to transform your situation so that he can restore your joy and also transform your relationship with him and with others so that you can enjoy the life he saved you to be. Paul said it this way. Paul says, for me to live is Christ. As long as I get to live on this earth, what do I get to do? I get to do something for Christ. But he says, guess what? To die is gain. What? You're going to die, and it's going to be better when you die. Paul said, yep, my Jesus is saving the best for last. He says, you know what keeps me going from day to day? I want to tell my countrymen. He said, it'd be better if I could just go on to heaven. He says, but it's to your advantage that I stay here and tell you that Jesus can still transform your situation and your relationship with God. And guess what? The best is yet to come. Let us pray. If you're here this morning and whatever's been going on in your life, know that God can transform your joy, your situation, and your relationship with him. Know that God is waiting to intervene in your life. You just need to ask. And once you ask, realize that you can trust and believe in Jesus. But Jesus will act and accomplish a miracle in your life on God's timetable and according to God's plan and will. Sometimes things don't happen as fast as we like, and that might be just so that we'll learn to trust God more. Sometimes things don't happen the way we plan, but that's because God knows what's best for us. So remember this morning, Jesus is saving the best for last. So whatever you're lacking this morning, Jesus is going to take care of it. But it might be further down the road. Until your joy is restored, just trust in Jesus. If you're here this morning and you've never trusted Jesus with your life, he came to this earth for one reason. For the hour that he would go to the cross. The hour that he would accomplish payment for your sin. The hour that he would die the death you deserved. The hour that he would be buried. The hour that he'd be resurrected to show that you can have new life. That is the purpose of Christ coming to this earth, is to transform your relationship that was broken into a new covenant relationship with God. If you don't know that relationship, just say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know you love me so much that you sent Jesus to die for my sins. Jesus, I believe you died for my sins. I'm asking you to forgive me, and I'm asking you to take control of my life, restore my joy, and help me live pleasing to you. If you're a Christian and you've prayed that prayer, even if it was a long time ago, I challenge you to share that with someone else, because that's what Jesus wants us to do. Jesus testifies through the acts of greatness and glory that he does in everyday lives of Christians so that we can share that with others. Kind Father, we just thank you that you are the God of creation and the God of recreation. We pray now, Lord, that you would just guide, direct us, be with us. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask if they're out in the parking lot that, Jose, if you will, you'll take up the offering out there. And if in here, after we close today, you can just drop it in one of these buckets. Thank you.
Lord, I see you in the sunrise every morning. It's like a picture that you painted for me. A love letter in the sky. Story, I could have had a really different story. But you came down from heaven to restore me, forever save my life. Nobody loves me like you love me, Jesus. I stand in all of your amazing ways. I worship you as long as I. God, you were faithful and true. Nobody loves me like you. Mountains, you're breaking down the weight of all my mountains. Even when it feels like I'm surrounded, you'll never leave my side. Nobody loves me like you love me, Jesus. I stand in all of your amazing ways. I worship you as long as I am breathing. God, you were faithful and true. Nobody loves me like you. Oh, what a song. Oh, what a song to sing. Oh, what a song my heart keeps singing. Oh, what a song. Nobody loves me like you love me, Jesus. I stand in all of your amazing ways. I'll worship you as long as I am breathing. God, you were faithful and true. Nobody loves me like you. Nobody loves me like you love me, Jesus. I stand in all of your amazing ways. I worship you as long as I am breathing. God, you were faithful and true. God, you were faithful and true. Nobody loves me like you.
Thank you all for being here today.